Welcome to AgriPulse Newsmakers, where we aim to take you to the heart of ag policy. I'm your host, Lydia Johnson. This week, we're bringing you a special edition of the show from the National Association of Farm Broadcasting annual meeting in Kansas City. Earlier this month, we sat down with farmer leaders to discuss the farm economy and their priorities going into the new year. Josh Gackle is the president of the American Soybean Association. We asked him what is top of mind for him as a North Dakota farmer and soybean growers across the country looking into 2025.
With this farm economy being what it is, most farmers now have wrapped up their 24 harvest and are taking a final look at the books and seeing where they're at, already planning for 2025, working with lenders and the rest in the ag value chain, making those plans. And there's generally some uncertainty, a little bit of unease out there about what 25 and beyond looks like. So the things that we talk about when it comes to policy, whether it's a reauthorization of the five-year farm bill, which is our key priority, our number one ask, encouraged by what we saw out of the House A committee earlier this year, included a number of those different things that would increase the farm safety net, provide protections within Title I and the rest of the farm safety net, updates in reference prices, base acre operations. The thing that we struggle with when we get these one-year extensions, which is important, we need the programs there, we need the programs to continue, but you're extending a bill that's already outdated. The 2018 Farm Bill was using input prices and commodity prices that are not anywhere close to what they are now. So that request of ours for reference price increases so that the programs actually kick in when they're needed, those are the things in getting a new farm bill done there that are important. So when you ask about what's most pressing, I think there's still time in the calendar year, and when the lame duck session comes back, there is time for them to do a full farm bill. Chairman Thompson has said that's still his number one priority, is to get a full farm bill done. But you're going to hear more and more talk about another extension.
Farm bill definitely top of mind during the end of this Congress. You've also been following the potential impacts of the Endangered Species Act regulations on soybean farmers. How do you think that might change under a new Trump administration and change moving forward in the future?
Well, you're right. It's something that we've very involved in and engaged in. ASA is, with the folks that we have in D.C. And with our farmer leaders as well. Several, I've been involved in a few of them, but other of our farmers who have met with EPA over the past 18 months when it comes to the Endangered Species Act and herbicide and insecticide strategies. What we've been stressing with them is whatever the final rule is or the final language, it really needs to be workable and implementable, be able for us to implement on the farm in a cost-effective way. I think the science shows that these products are safe. We've been using them for years. Farmers need those tools available. It's another example of a stressor when it comes to the bottom line on the farm. Anything that EPA would require that takes more time, requires more practices, that adds cost to your operation is not something that we need at this point. And with the change in administration, a lot of what is required under the Endangered Species Act is part of the law. So EPA, regardless of who's there, needs to follow the law. There are certain things that, leadership, whether it's a new administrator or other folks that come in with a new cabinet member there are things that can move maybe more quickly. But I think overall ESA is not going away, so it would be hard to, we can't really predict at this time. We can look at the past and certainly I think can assume that there'll be regulatory reform under a new Trump administration, not just at EPA, but probably across government.
Biofuels have become an increasingly important part of the ag and energy landscape, and the future of that is really largely dependent on the Clean Fuels Tax Credit announcement that's due by the end of this year. As a soybean farmer yourself, Josh, what do you believe is at stake for farmers with this decision, and what do you see as the best case scenario on a decision for your industry?
Well, so starting with the Clean Fuel Production Tax Credit and what we refer to as 45Z, we've been hoping to get that final guidance from the Department of Treasury of what practices are going to be required on the farm. What we've been urging is flexibility. I think it can have a huge impact. The demand that would be there, the additional domestic demand that a successful 45Z program would create, but we haven't seen the final rules yet. I think, some in the administration, USDA and others, have heard that that's important as Treasury finishes up, so hopefully they're having those conversations so that farmers can do what we do best and provide that important feedstock. And just now recently, Farm Groups ASA has joined the effort as well to, for now, extend the 40A tax credit, which is the existing one, as a bridge till we get to a final 45Z package that can be beneficial for farmers.
There's been a topic of discussion about ad hoc disaster and economic assistance for farmers passing in the lame duck. From your perspective, do you think this proposed legislation can actually get legs? And as a farmer yourself, what's the importance of this happening?
Yeah, so ad hoc, well, it's super important, not just on my operation, but and it's similar when we talk about the Farm Bill. This is important for a healthy and strong rural America. Farmers, when farmers are making money on their farms and showing a profit, they're reinvesting in their communities, in their small towns, other businesses. Those dollars are reinvested, and it continues to ripple through rural America. So it's important, again, for a strong and healthy rural America, and not just on my farm. Without a Farm Bill, without an existing or a reauthorization of a five-year Farm Bill, we don't like to rely on these ad hoc programs that are year by year because they're not predictable. It's not something we can work with our lenders on and say, well, we can expect this. It's stuff that happens at the end of the year. But as a bridge, as something to get, from not having a Farm Bill in place or extending the existing to provide some assistance out there in a down farm economy, that's something that can probably move fairly quickly in D.C. Getting a Farm Bill is a little bit of a slower process, but some of these ad hoc disaster programs, you'll start to see end of the year legislation on all types of budget issues and tax issues before the new Congress comes in January. So I think there is a good chance there that we can get some of that done.
We'll be back with more from National Sorghum Producers Chairwoman Amy France right after this.
Regenerative poultry production is a process by which nature can actually recapture and restore the energy that is being taken out of a space.
Farm Credit helped Rahi build his dream of regenerative poultry farming and encouraging fellow immigrants to find community in agriculture.
Nothing beats a farm. I'm just pursuing happiness.
Learn more at farmcredit.com/beginning.
Farmers are always there for each other. We shed tears together. We celebrate together. But we also grow together. Farm Bureau is the largest general farm organization in the country. We have the farmers' back. If you're a farmer and you're not a member, we would welcome you into our Farm Bureau family. And if you want to know more about agriculture, come be part of this great family.
Welcome back. Amy France is a Kansas farmer and National Sorghum Producers Chairwoman. We asked her what she sees as the most pressing issues facing sorghum farmers today.
Well, you said it, the input prices continue to rise. We aren't seeing anything changing there. And input prices obviously and sometimes are overlooked. We're talking about, fertilizer, cost of seed, fuel, but we're also talking about labor. We're talking about, insurance prices have increased. So, sometimes looking outside the box of what those typical input prices are, it really expands and it's much more significant in that rise. So obviously, yes. And the prices that we're getting for the crops we're pulling out, not reflecting that. And so break evens are rarely happening these days. So really, for national sorghum producers, we're saying, hey, let's get something done in this 2024. Disaster assistance would be great. And that gets actual money in our farmers' pockets when they need it most. Many of them are going in to talk to their bankers in renewal season. And so we want to equip them to be able to say, hey, I've got a plan and let me keep farming for another year.
The Clean Fuels Tax Credit has been top of mind for a lot lately and has a lot of opportunities for producers like sorghum producers. What are the requests of you as a producer and producers in general so you can benefit from this credit?
Sure. Well, once again, we're still looking for some guidance to see what that actually means. So that would be our number one. Just give us the lay of the land on what this looks like. So, we're in November. That's supposed to begin January 2025. So we're obviously going to need extension there. But sorghum fits well in that. We can definitely boast that sorghum is all about the sustainability. We check those boxes with, being the water sipping crop where other crops aren't so much that in that case. So we're looking for clear and precise guidance on that 45Z, and we look forward to being able to move that forward for our producers and, again, being able to monetize the work they're doing in the field to really bring that back to the farm to continue one more year.
And as you mentioned, sorghum is an incredibly versatile crop with multiple uses for food, livestock feed, biofuels. Where do you see growth opportunities for the crop in the future?
I think they're limitless, truly. And that's really kind of a mission of mine, is to make sure sorghum is in every conversation, whether it's, you know, a row crop, whether we're talking the livestock industry, biofuels, food. There really isn't anything that we can't touch and conquer. You know, we talk about in the field, sorghum is fantastic in the field, and it's great on the plate as well. You know, we can boast about our nutrients, essential nutrients, antioxidants, amino acids, the list goes on. And so we're definitely seeing a need for that in the health world and a drive. So again, looking for opportunities to monetize what our farmers are doing and being able to help them continue to do the work.
And we'll have many new members of Congress and in the administration next year. If you could tell them one thing about the importance of sorghum to the U.S. economy or the uses of the crop in general, what would that be?
You know, really what I would say is there isn't anything we can't do. The importance when we have new Congress, any new members, is just the relationships that we can build and the education. So watch out for sorghum. There's lots of things coming, and we look forward to working with everyone in the new administration, new Congress. We have our work cut out for us. There's no doubt about it, but farmers have never shied away from work, and so we're ready to take on 2025.
We'll be back with more from National Corn Growers Association President Kenneth Hartman right after this.
Elevate your game and set your sights on Denver for the 2025 Commodity Classic. With technology that moves faster than fluctuating markets and information as important as a million-dollar rain, Commodity Classic is designed for growers of all kinds, where you'll broaden your horizons as you improve yield and ROI one bushel at a time. Take your operation to new heights and join us for Elevating Excellence in Agriculture, March 2nd through 4th in Denver. Learn more at CommodityClassic.com.
Don't miss the must-attend policy event of the year. Register now for the 2025 AgriPulse Ag and Food Policy Summit. Hear from the diverse players who are trying to navigate taxes, trade, and technology as we dive into what's ahead for food and agriculture. The summit takes place on Monday, March 17th at the National Press Club in Washington, D.C. and through our virtual experience. View the agenda and register today under the Events tab at AgriPulse.com.
Welcome back. Trade is a crucial component for American agriculture and has been discussed frequently during this election cycle. National Corn Growers Association President Kenneth Hartman says a large amount of corn grown in the U.S. is exported.
Well, trade is very important to the U.S. Corn producer. Obviously, you know, 15% of our grain right now is going to foreign countries overseas, and we need to keep that trade. We need to build on that. You know, right now, I really think that we need to work on, you know, some trade agreements. You know, we've had with the Trump administration, the last time he was in, we end up working on USMCA, which has been a great for corn growers, because right now Mexico's our number one purchaser of corn. But, you know, there's other opportunities with trade agreements. We, you know, work with India, working with some Asian countries and things like that, because I know India, for example, I mean, right now I just had a fellow from India at our house a few weeks ago, and they're really talking about, you know, cleaning up their environment, going with ethanol in their fuel and higher blends of ethanol in their fuel. So they're looking at, you know, they made the comments, we either got to buy corn or we got to buy ethanol from you folks. But we need to work on some agreements that your country and our country can work together, because they need us, we believe. And we would rather have them buy from us than buy from South America. So that's a big, I think, on trade. So.
And Trump has proposed a 20% tariff on goods imported to the U.S. and 60% tariff on goods coming from China. If this happens, what impact do you expect corn growers to have?
Well, we definitely have concern on tariffs. I mean, we want free trade, but we want fair trade too. So that's the way we look at it, that we are concerned with that. But at the same time, you know, one other thing right now, if we sell ethanol to Brazil right now, they're at an 18% tariff for us. selling ethanol to them, but yet they're bringing ethanol into the United States at a 2% tariff. So there's definitely some things that we need to work on to be fair.
And Mexico is one of our largest trading partners, and they have proposed a ban on genetically modified corn. Why does this impact U.S. corn growers directly, and how are you advocating for protecting exports to Mexico?
Well, as I said before, we basically, Mexico is our number one customer, as you made comments, so we need to protect that, and you know, basically, there's concerns right now with USTR has put a case against them as far as USMCA. So because of this, we're hoping to have a result here in the next month, and we feel like this should go our way. So if that goes our way, we definitely need to push them to their agreement with USMCA and keep buying corn from us, including white corn and food grade corn.
We've seen the Trump administration once. What do you think are some of the biggest changes or things that U.S. corn growers can look forward to as we transition administrations?
Well, we did get along very well with them, you know, the last administration. We had Sonny Perdue as the Secretary of Agriculture. We had a good relationship with him. So we're hoping that the appointment that he puts to Secretary of Ag is going to be similar to that, someone that basically knows agriculture, knows down on the farm agriculture, and understands the way agriculture in the United States works. So we're hoping with that. We're hoping that, again, USMCA was a good thing for us. We're hoping some more trade agreements like that. We're hoping to work on some things with ethanol. And we got to kind of see where things go, and we're hoping that things work well.
As you look ahead to 2025, what are you most concerned about and most optimistic for NCGA members?
Well, I think there's some opportunities here. You know, there's definitely challenges, but at the same time, challenges bring opportunities. You know, we're working on trying to get E15 done here in lame duck. We're hoping that gets passed. We definitely need E15 year-round. You know, we've got 8 states now that are going to have E15 year-round, but we need all 50 states. So we're hoping to get something. There's a House and a Senate bill right now. We're hoping that gets done in lame duck. We're also working on our main priority, Next Generation Fuel Act, which brings in higher blends of ethanol, 20-25%. We think that there's opportunities there. That's a bipartisan bill that we've been working on. We're hoping to maybe get something done with that next year. And that's a big opportunity for us. And back to working on trade agreements, possibly there's some opportunities there. We're hoping to get done with a farm bill, hopefully this year, not next year, but we're gonna have to see what happens. There's not a lot of time in lame duck, but we think that you know, we've kicked the can down the road a year already. We do not need another extension. We need to get a farm bill passed. With the economics we have right now in agriculture, with low prices, high costs, you know, everything's went up, you know, fuel costs, equipment costs, fertilizer, I mean, everything has really been up the last few years. So that's why it's so important to have a farm bill. And also there's the Farm Act that's been introduced. We feel like this is something that can be done for right now to help some of these farmers that are in dire need of some assistance, because they're worried that they're not going to be able to put a crop out next year. So these are some things we need to work on for this year and get a farm bill for next year. Either hopefully we can get that done in lame duck, but if not, we're going to have to start all over, which is going to be frustrating. But we definitely need to get some things done with agriculture to help our economy.
We'll be back with more Newsmakers right after this.
It's not as simple just to wake up one day and go, I want to be a conservation farmer. You're changing how your farming practice is done. You're changing your operation.
Farm Credit supported John and Kelly Watley as they shifted to more sustainable farming, improving the environment where they farm and live. Learn more at farmcredit.com/climate.
Farmers are always there for each other. We shed tears together, we celebrate together, but we also grow together. Farm Bureau is the largest general farm organization in the country. We have the farmers' back. If you're a farmer and you're not a member, we would welcome you into our Farm Bureau family. And if you want to know more about agriculture, come be part of this great family.
Welcome back. As we've discussed today, trade is exceptionally important for the agriculture industry. We asked Roberta Simpson-Dolbear with the U.S. Soybean Export Council what the industry is looking ahead to in 2025.
Well, there's a lot of demand for U.S. soybeans around the world. And of course, soybeans is our number one ag product as far as being exported. 60% of the soybeans that we grow are exported outside of the U.S., so it definitely plays a big part in the ag industry. We're looking at trying to maintain current markets that we have, as well as continually looking to expand our markets around the globe.
And I heard that you have some new 2023-2024 market numbers that have recently been released.
We do, yeah. Total soy complex, the beans, the oil, and the meal combined are down just a little bit overall, but still at 60.8 million metric tons. We're looking at about $31.2 billion of ag value in the economy, so that's very important. Whole beans, right around 46 million metric tons. Soybean meal is actually up, because now that we've increased our crushing capacity here in the U.S., that was important. That's a good figure to see that that's up about 10%, but we are finding markets for some of the meal that we're not needing, and that's at right around 14.4 million metric tons. And then soybean oil is a valuable part or component of our total soybean package, and that's right now about 280 million metric tons. Or metric tons,
Well, great. And I guess kind of looking at those numbers as a high-level summary, I guess what do you see as reflection from last year, and are you optimistic about looking at those numbers for the year ahead?
Yeah. Well, we're certainly, you know, I think sometimes there's a little question when you change administrations, but we're feeling pretty optimistic that we are going to maintain as well as continue to develop more or increase the markets where we are around the globe. Southeast Asia is one of those markets that's increasing as they develop their aquaculture trade. Africa is another area of it where we're involved in looking at new markets for soybean use there, because Africa is one of the fastest growing from a population standpoint, so there's a need for more protein in diets. So we see opportunities there. USEC is actually working right now in about 80 countries around the globe. So I feel like we've got a pretty good, good diverse market lineup.
You also, sustainability is a large pillar for the work that you all do. So how does your sustainability message help position soybean growers to sell more overseas?
Yeah. Well, the U.S., U.S. farmers like to think that we have the lowest carbon footprint as far as in our producing and growing soybeans. I know from a local standpoint, we are try to be as efficient as we can on our own farm. We want to maintain the ability to farm to the next generation as well. And so we try to do things efficiently and economically, because it is a very competitive market right now. And so it's best to try and watch the dollars that we spend, but also looking at ways that we can continually improve how we take care of our ground.
And from a farmer's perspective, looking ahead to 2025, for U.S. soybean exports and the industry in general, what are you most looking forward to?
Well, I think that, you know, we just always are excited about the next farming year. Farmers are eternal optimists. We certainly are looking at ways that we can better manage how we produce our soybeans so that it increases our profit line. And continually, hopefully, you know, if we can see that these markets continue to grow, it helps the U.S. farmer continue to be able to operate profitably.
We'll be right back with a look at the week ahead.
Looking closer, seeing further. That's how we do it. At Curious Plot, we're driven to find what's next for agriculture, animal care, and food. We stay curious because that's what it takes to grow understanding. That's how we plot strategies and tell stories that get results time after time. Marketing, communications, and consulting that look closer and see further. Curious Plot. We can't wait to help you tell your story.
Achieving excellence isn't easy. It's reserved for those willing to work for it. Farmers like you, who strive for bigger yields and better education. People who settle for nothing less than the very best. Because you know excellence can only be achieved through hard work, commitment, and
perseverance. Take your operation to new heights and join us for the 2025 Commodity Classic, Elevating Excellence in Agriculture, March 2nd through 4th in Denver. Learn more at commodityclassic.com.
Welcome back. Before we let you go, here's what's on the horizon for the upcoming week. Congress will be back in session next week for 3 weeks of the lame duck session before the end of the calendar year. High on lawmakers' to-do list in December will be an extension of the 2018 Farm Bill. That extension could include some policy changes and special assistance for farmers. As always, stay tuned for the latest on this and more at AgriPulse.com. For AgriPulse Newsmakers, I'm Lydia Johnson. Thanks for watching.
Newsmakers is a production of AgriPulse Communications. You can also find our new content on YouTube and wherever you get your podcasts. And don't forget to follow AgriPulse and our correspondents on social media to get breaking news and more. For agriculture, trade, food, environment, and regulatory news, your source is AgriPulse.com.